Papier. Parlez-vous français? I'm Frey de Papier. I was a C student in French, so I don't remember much. Didn't learn much at the time. And if you lack a pen, also Alex has some extra pens. There will be a little exercise for you later, in case you're wondering what that's all about. And okay. Well, thank you for having me. It's so good to be with you folks. I'll just fill you in. I'll give you the 1 minute Johnson fill-in. Everybody's good and healthy. Lynn and I both had COVID about a month ago. Don't worry, I'm 3 weeks out, 3 weeks past quarantine. So, you know, you don't have to fear. And I don't care what everybody says about quarantine. I know about COVID. You hear a lot of different things about COVID, but I didn't really think it was that much fun. But I don't know. Neither of us had any extreme cases, although Linda lost a taste and smell and is gradually getting that back. But all our children are healthy, and Amanda is soon to move to Phoenix to work with her old company and start a branch there. Let's see, everybody else. Caleb and Kennedy moved to Florida about a year ago, so they live near where Lynn and I stay in January. And Linda's still working at Emmaus. I switched to Prudential, but still doing the same thing. Able to do a few extra things like helping farmers with transitions of their property and one thing that's cool that I'm able to do starting in January with Prudential is helping people to invest in ways that are more fitting with the Christian faith. You know, that is, a lot of Christians don't like investing in certain companies. Starting in January, I'll have the option to help clients be more choosy and exact about where their money is invested. So I'm really excited about that possibility. So anyway, very good. Again, thanks for having me. It's always great to be with you folks. And upcoming is one of my favorite holidays, Thanksgiving. We already had Christmas, by the way, the Johnsons, on November 6, 2 weeks ago. All our kids were in town for a wedding, so we said, let's have Christmas early, because none of them will be in town on the real Christmas day. So we already had Christmas. Now we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursday, as I hope all the rest of you will as well. And I really like Thanksgiving. I'm not sure it's my favorite holiday, but it's way up there. And because I love the fact that it reminds everybody about the fact that there is someone greater than us. It reminds us to do something that is really an excellent spiritual exercise for those of us who are believers in Christ, to give thanks. And so there's a lot of spiritual good in the holiday of Thanksgiving. I have done this a number of times with you folks, but I'm going to do it again, to read one of the president's Thanksgiving Day proclamation. This one is George Washington from 1789. It's kind of long, but I'll read it anyway. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. I'm not done yet, but if you think that Paul has long sentences, you should read George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation. Okay, there's one sentence. Next sentence. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constituents of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one, how now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. Third sentence. And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shewn kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Fourth sentence, given under my hand at the city of New York the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789. So that was from George Washington. So really, I love to read this. Abraham Lincoln has another one that I love to read. It's not like they're pointing us all the way to the cross of Christ and the resurrection, but at least they're getting us part way where people need to go and reminding people that there is someone greater to whom we owe a great deal of gratitude. Well, let's express a little gratitude and ask for his help as we open the word together. Dear Father, we do thank you for this holiday celebrated here in America. On this next Thursday, we thank you that it reminds us of you and reminds us of our dependence on you, reminds us of how grateful we are to be that we ought to be for all that you have blessed us with and all who the greatness that you are and that you have, and that you do so much for us, and you have done so much for us, and you will do so much for us. We are so blessed by you. And so we ask you, Lord, as we think about Thanksgiving and the giving of thanks, that you would help us to develop a pattern or to increase our pattern and habits and practices of the giving of thanks, that we would be grateful people, thankful people, people who thank you for the many blessings you have given us. And so we ask for your help as we study your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I would like to, of course, spend our time thinking about the giving of thanks. And when I put a sermon together, a lot of times early on, I've kind of got an idea where the sermon is going to head, especially when there's a specific passage you're looking at. But then sometimes as I'm developing this sermon, it kind of changes and evolves. So in this case, I had something very specific I wanted to talk about. But then as I was preparing the sermon, I thought, it headed in another direction, or at least broadened the things we're going to talk about. So I'm going to go through the who, what, where, when, why, and how of the giving of thanks, or at least some of the who, some of the what, some of the where, and so on, of giving thanks in relation to giving thanks to God. Who should, by the way, you've got a piece of paper. Feel free to take notes. We're not taking a test afterwards, but later we're going to have a little exercise, so leave some space. But feel free to take notes on it if you so desire. And as you heard the outline, who, what, where, when, why, how, there's kind of the outline for you. Who should give thanks? Now, who should give thanks? George Washington, I just read, urged all Americans to give thanks. And certainly we would say, yeah, everybody ought to thank the Lord. Now, that's true, and certainly everyone owes thanks to the Lord. Everyone, if you have life, if you have breath, you have been blessed by God. And so, sure, I'm never going to tell anybody, don't thank God. On the other hand, it's a little strange for someone who does not believe in Christ, someone who hasn't turned to Jesus Christ in faith, to be saying, thank you, God, for the beautiful sunrise, but by the way, I don't like your son, and I'm not going to turn to him. It kind of doesn't make sense. I don't know what God thinks of it. I'm not going to pretend. I mean, obviously, someone who rejects Christ, he's not, that such a person is not in a right relationship with him. I'm not quite sure that he is disgusted by such thanks. I don't know. I don't know what he thinks. But I know that somebody who has not yet put their faith in Christ Jesus, they're a whole lot better off first doing that. Because thanking God for, the delicious food or something like that isn't going to help them at all. It doesn't do you any good to thank God if you're not even on right terms with him, if you're not one of his children. So, sure, fine, everybody can thank God, but it's especially who should give thanks, God's children. Boy, if there's anybody who has things to thank him for, of course it's God's children. Everybody has a lot of blessings. You know, Christians and non-Christians can enjoy a sunset or a beautiful sunrise or delicious food or provisions from God, which are ultimately from God. But we have so much more to thank him for, right? We thought in the first meeting quite a bit about unity we have with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we have the forgiveness of sins and this great hope that we get to look forward to someday being with the Lord in a more direct manner. And even right now, we are in his presence and he is with us wherever we go. And so we could go on and on talking about the many things that we have as children of God to give thanks to him for. And I speak to you as if we all are children of God, as if we all have recognized that we are sinners and desperately in need of salvation, because God is holy and he is pure and he is just, and we in our natural sinful selves could not be right with God. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, and he rose from the dead as well, so that we who believe in Christ have this great salvation. So if you haven't yet taken that step, and just because you're sitting in a pew on Sunday morning doesn't mean that you have trusted in Jesus Christ. If you haven't, or if you're not sure whether or not you have, you can be sure of that today. Alex, would you say anybody could be sure of that today, that they're saved?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Don't you think that'd be a good idea if you're not sure?
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be a great idea. So, anyway, I'd be delighted, or Alex, or anyone here would be delighted to talk with you about that. As God's children, though, we have tremendous things to thank him for and opportunities, and we must give thanks. Give thanks to God, the Father, through the Son, and even with the Holy Spirit. So who should give thanks? We should. To whom we should give thanks would be to God. Now, we should thank one another as well, but thank the Lord. Who, what? What are we to do? What are we to do? We are to give thanks. Nothing fancy, nothing complex, nothing complicated. If you have children or even grandchildren, you have taught them, say thank you, right? One of the earlier phrases and ideas that we taught our children was, somebody does something nice for you, somebody hands you something, mom makes breakfast, or dad, what does whatever for you, you should say thank you. And every once in a while, you know, about once every 5 years, one of my kids would say thank you to me for something. And after I got up off the floor, awoke from the shock, I was like, oh, yeah, actually, that's pretty nice, aside from the lump on my head from hitting the coffee table and when I fell. But it's really nice when your child thanks you for something, and God likes it when his children thank him, even if it's something that's not amazing. But what are we to do to thank him? Just to say, thank you, Lord. And it ought to be a phrase that is common in our hearts and from our lips. Thank you, Lord, for, and it can be something huge, and it can be something really small, but to thank him. Well, we're going to look at a lot of passages. Feel free to open your Bible. Of course, I hope you open your Bible and look at some of these with me. One of them, it will be in Psalms quite a bit. One of them here we'll look at briefly is Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Now, so there is a difference between giving thanks and praising the Lord. But they're so intertwined, you know, I'm especially thinking about giving of thanks, where you're saying, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for who you are, or thank you for what you have done. While praise, you might say, is more like, Lord, you are great, or Lord, you did this. They're so intertwined, I don't think you need to make a big deal about the difference, but every once in a while, it might be helpful to think that there is a difference between praise and thanks. But all of those can sort of work together, right? You say, Lord, you are great and awesome. Doesn't that naturally lead us to say, thank you, Lord, as awesome as you are, that you love me, or something like that. So, but give thanks. Thank him for something. So here's why you have paper and pen. We're going to have a little contest. I got my phone here, a timer set for 5 minutes. Now, over the next 5 minutes, I'm going to talk through some of the many things that we can thank the Lord for. And we're going to see who can write down the most things you're thankful for. I wrote down 69 things I'm thankful for in 5 minutes. So if you're going to try to beat me, and I know some of you are ultra, ultra competitive, and if you're going to try to beat me, you've got to write fast. And I know your head is going to be down, I know, and I know you can listen and write at the same time, no problem. If you're a little distracted from my message, I won't be offended, because there's, I think, something worthwhile in writing down. But I haven't said go yet. If you're writing down, you're cheating. But that's all right. It was an accident, so I didn't make that clear. Sorry. Okay. So ready, set, go. All right. You got 4 minutes and 58 seconds left while I talk a little bit about some of the things to thank God for. And the big idea is everything. So in my list, I wrote, where's my list? My list is right here. What did I thank God for? I thanked God for a wife whom I enjoy, a wife who does not nag. There's two things right there. I thank God for Atlantic Gospel Chapel, for Great Adventure Church, my church in Dubuque, Emmaus Bible College, and I listed each of my children individually. See, you can get a whole lot done really quick. And I even just wrote shortened versions of their names, A-N-D for Andrew, and so on. Peace, salvation, Christ. Some of them are just very simple things, like a job and that sort of thing. And then some things are grand ideas that we naturally think. We think of thanking God for the huge things like salvation. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. All of that we should do. But we can also thank him for the little things. Hey, thank you, Lord, that I have shoes on my feet. You know, thank you, Lord, for, well, I guess healing from COVID is not that little of a thing, is it? But thank you, Lord, for healing Linda and for healing me and whatnot. So all sorts of things. But I'm going to look at a few passages in the scriptures that teach us some of the things we can thank God for. In Psalm 107, some year I'm going to have to preach on this for a whole Thanksgiving message. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So thank the Lord for his steadfast love, his loyal love. You keep going through Psalm 107 and over again, it has the idea of thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Anyway, Psalm 107. Also, Psalm 95. Just thinking about some of the things we can thank the Lord for. Verse 2, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. So we can thank God for his greatness. Let's go to the New Testament a little bit. New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. And this is especially speaking of food that we eat and such, that eat it with thanksgiving. But really, we can thank God for everything that he's created. How about Hebrews 12? Hebrews 12. Verses 28 and 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. How about Romans 1, verse 8? I really like this one. Paul, in his letters, you really sense that he loves the Christians that he is writing to. Romans 1, verse 8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. As he writes to Christians in Rome, he says, I thank God for all of you. Somewhat, let's also see in 2 Thessalonians. You see, I said we would be looking at a lot of passages. 2 Thessalonians, by the way, you've got 37 seconds left. Chapter 1, verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. So you see Paul giving the idea of frequently, commonly, constantly thanking the Lord for your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. 9:8, well, we have our last 5 seconds. I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Time's up. Okay. Who wrote down at least 10 things you're thankful for? Excellent. Most of you passed. How many of you wrote at least 20 things? Excellent. Anybody write 40? Oh, 50? Brother, how many did you write down? I'm sorry, behind Alex, in front of Steve. Brother, what's your name? I'm sorry. 52, excellent. Anybody beat 52? All right, we've got a winner. And the contest, you know, the prize is you've got the longest list. So that's good. There you go. So excellent, way to go. So anyway, I thought that might be a little bit fun for you. And keep that list. We're going to talk about that list again later on. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. He's got a list of things that we do, how we relate to one another. In Ephesians, In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always, so this verse just might come up later, right? Giving thanks always and for everything. Many of you have heard this story from me and maybe elsewhere. Corrie ten Boom, during World War II, her family housed Jews. They were Christians. They were not Jewish, but they were believers in Christ. And they housed Jews so that the Nazis could not find them. And for a time, they had success along those lines. Eventually, the Nazis did find out about this and captured the Jews, also took Corrie and her family to concentration camps. Corrie and her sister Betsy were in the same concentration camp and in the same barracks together. And so they would have devotions and prayer times together, that sort of thing. And so one time their devotions was on this verse. And it says, again, Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything. And that word for is a tough word, isn't it? Giving thanks for everything. They are in a concentration camp in the barracks, but and so Betsy said, okay, let's look around at everything in the barracks, Corrie, and we're going to thank God for it. And so they thanked God for the other people. They thanked God for the door. They thanked God for the windows. But when it came time to thank God for the fleas, Corrie really had a hard time. Understandably, right? And she said, no, I don't want to thank God for the fleas. And Betsy said, yes, Corrie, you must. And eventually, Corrie did thank God for the fleas. Well, later, Corrie found out that in the evenings, the soldiers would go to the other barracks and rape the women. They would not go to Corrie and Betsy's barracks and rape the women. They stayed out of those barracks. They never knew why until they figured it out. Ah, we're the only one that has fleas. So I suppose then it became a little easier for her to thank the Lord for the fleas. So for everything, so most of the things we thank the Lord for, let's face it, here in America, most of us, for the most part, have life pretty good. We've got a good amount of freedom. We don't really get persecuted harshly for our faith. We have great medical care. We all have a roof over our over our heads. Most of us have heat, air conditioning, a car we can drive, and so on. We all have food we can eat. So most of us have it pretty good compared to a whole lot of the rest of the world. Nonetheless, we have, and so most of the time we can thank the Lord pretty easily, but sometimes it's harder than others. When you have COVID or when a loved one has passed away or you're having financial troubles or what have you, all sorts of different things that sometimes it is hard to thank the Lord for them, but it does, that's what the word says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. So who, what, where? And where do we pray? Do we thank the Lord? Anywhere. I like to thank the Lord in the car, driving along, and you see something, pretty sunset, you see some nice scenery, you thank the Lord. Or you just are thinking about what's going on in life, you think about loved ones and so on. That's a great time to thank the Lord in your quiet time. And when I sit down and I spend some time in prayer and I spend some time in the Word, I like to, very early on, before I start asking the Lord for things, I like to praise Him and thank Him for things first. Of course, at the dinner table, when we sit down and eat together, that's a great time to thank the Lord. Going on a walk, Just sitting anywhere is a good place to thank the Lord. And when we're here together is a good place to thank the Lord. Who, what, where, when? Well, similarly, any time is a great place, a great time to thank the Lord. Every time, all times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll bet some of you thought we might go to this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. So at all times, whatever your situation, whether it's good or bad, you're happy or sad, give thanks in all circumstances. And it says there, this is God's will for us. So if it's God's will for us, we can know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit's enablement, we can do this. Whatever our circumstance, we can thank Him. Doesn't mean it's always easy, but even if we don't feel like it, we can still give thanks. Really, God doesn't give us a choice. He says, in every circumstance, and He says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we don't have any choice. We just, if we want to be obedient Christians, we give thanks every circumstance. One day, a mom made dinner for the family, and mom and dad asked the son to pray for the food, to thank the Lord for the food. He didn't like what was set before him, though. He said, dear God, I don't like the looks of this food, but I thank you for it anyway, and I'll do my best to eat it. Amen. Well, that might be kind of our attitude sometimes. You know, it's pouring rain outside, or there's ice on the roads, or your health isn't very good, or all sorts of things happen. Lord, I don't like the circumstances I'm in, but I thank you anyway. And it's easier said than done, isn't it? It's easy to stand here on the pulpit and say, give thanks in all circumstances. But we are told to do it. And I'm don't shoot me. I'm the messenger. God says, in all circumstances. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but we do it anyways. And back to that Ephesians 5 that we looked at a few minutes ago, where it says, for all things, it also says, giving thanks always, always. So when? Give thanks anytime. Whether you feel like it or not, whether it's a happy occasion or a sad occasion, give thanks always. There is a special time set aside for giving of thanks to the Lord. It's a time of remembrance, of worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we worship and praise Him and remember Him, we can't help but thank Jesus, to thank God for sending His Son, Jesus, to come and to die in our place. So the breaking of bread service, the remembrance meeting, the Lord's Supper is an especially wonderful time to thank Him. Of course, again, when includes our quiet times and meals, and just as we're out for a walk, or if you've got the sort of job where you can thank Him, some jobs you really have to concentrate on everything you're saying and doing, but when you've got a break, give thanks. Why should we give thanks? Who, where, what, when? Why should we give thanks? I've got a few thoughts here. The first is simply that He commands it. Number one, He commands it. That should be good enough, but we'll add to that why we should give thanks. Number two, because of who God is. God is so great, of course He is deserving of our thanks. He has done so many amazing things, of course He is worthy of our thanks. And giving thanks acknowledges God's gratefulness, God's greatness. And so we should naturally be giving thanks to do just that. It is fitting that we give thanks to our great, awesome, wonderful, powerful, loving God. It's fitting. It would be unfitting for us not to do so. A third reason is because of who we are. That is, giving thanks is kind of a reminder that God is so great and that we're not so great in and of ourselves. That, you know, I'm pretty weak in and of myself. You and I, we're all pretty weak just on our own. And we rely upon Him for every breath that we take, for every, all the food that we have and so on. It all comes from God. And this giving thanks reminds us that He is infinitely greater than us. Back to Psalm 95, verse 7. Well, first it says, verse 2, let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. And then I'll go down to verse 7. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. We're just sheep. He's our shepherd. And giving thanks reminds us of this situation, that He is so great and we are not. Give thanks because giving of thanks is good for us. That's my fourth point in why we should give thanks, because giving thanks is good for us. I'd like to just in our last few minutes think about the power of gratefulness, the power of gratefulness. Even secular sources recognize this. Pete Carroll is the head coach of my favorite sports team, the Seattle Seahawks. He has been there for 10 or 12 years or so. To my knowledge, he's not a believer. I've never heard him say that he is. He seems like a really nice guy, but that's, what does that mean? Nothing. But he has co-authored a book, and I've listened to part of this book, and he's got a chapter about the power of gratitude. And he suggests this is a pattern or a practice and a habit that everyone should build, and it will help you. And I think we would probably all acknowledge this. This is a great thing to think about as a habit to build. He says, every night at the end of the day, I stop for a few minutes and I think of at least three things that I'm thankful for that happened today. Isn't that a great practice? Three things that you're thankful for that happened today. And I love that idea of his. I read about Berkeley University did a study about, and it says that, it was about people with some psychological issues. And they brought them in and gave half of them a test, and half of them did not do this. The ones who did this activity, they had to write a letter of thanksgiving to someone they were extremely thankful for. Someone, a mentor, a teacher, a parent, whatever. Someone who had meant a great deal to them, and they were to write a letter. And then half of those who wrote the letter called this person and read the letter to the one that they were thankful for. And they found there was an enormous benefit to those who wrote the letter, and then even more benefit to those who then read the letter to the one they're thankful for. So a huge psychological benefit just by doing what the Bible tells us to do, which is to give thanks. In this case, we've been talking about giving thanks to God, but it's a very valid and great thing to do, to give thanks to other people as well. But giving thanks is good for us, even just on a psychological basis, outside of biblical teaching and that sort of thing. And I think part of it is it gets us out of our negative thinking. It's so easy for us to be Eeyores, right? So easy for us to complain about the weather, to complain about my back is so sore. 90% of the people that we talk to say they're busy. Not 90, but we all say we're too busy, we're tired. Oh, we've got all this Eeyore stuff going on. Wouldn't it be better if we focus on the things to be thankful for? Interestingly, I don't think I've heard any of you complain today. I could be wrong, but I don't think any. Anyway, Chuck Swindoll says this: he who forgets the language of gratitude can never be on speaking terms with happiness. Again, he who forgets the language of gratitude can never be on speaking terms with happiness. One more verse. I think this is my last passage for today. It's Philippians chapter 4. Another way that, again, we're thinking about why to give thanks, and that's partly because it's good for us. One thing that so many people, including Christians, struggle with is anxiety. And Philippians 4 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." You're worried about something, pray about it, and make sure you thank the Lord about it. So praying about it, you're laying it at His feet, saying, "Lord, take care of it." Thanksgiving, you're saying, "Lord, thank you in advance for taking care of it." So it's good for us to give thanks. How? We've thought about how to give thanks. Just as you're doing your life, or as you sit down, or at the Lord's Supper, at meals, give thanks to God. One final story. Martin Rinkart was a pastor in Germany in the 17th century, and there was apparently a 30-year war with the Swedes. That's my ancestors, both sides, Swedish and German. And at his small city, again, he was a pastor, in 1 year, he buried 5,000 people. So, Alex, have you done any funerals yet?
Not yet.
Well, I hope you never have to do 5,000 in 1 year, which would be like 15 in a day on average almost. 15 funerals a day. Aren't you glad we don't have to go to that many funerals a day? In addition to teaching and comforting people and so on, his city was just ravaged by this 30-year war, and the Swedes were surrounding the city so the people couldn't get in or out. Just, it was a mess, thousands and thousands of people were dying. At the end, he brokered a peace treaty with the Swedes, after that, he knew that there would be no healing without thanksgiving. There'd be no healing without thanksgiving. So, now I need to find my phone. Oh, it's in my pocket. So, he wrote a hymn. Anybody know what the hymn is? It's "Now Thank We All Our God." We don't have it in our hymn books, I don't believe. But I think we've sung it here in the past. "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in His grace, and guide us when perplexed, and guard us through all ills, in this world till the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father, now be given, the Son, and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore." Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for your many, many blessings. You have blessed us physically. You have blessed us spiritually, especially. We are so thankful for the many spiritual blessings. Thankful for you sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come and to die in our place. Thank you that He rose again. Thank you that He ascended into heaven, that someday He's coming back to get us. We look forward to that, and we ask, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. But until then, Lord, lead us and help us to be thankful people, to feel gratitude towards you and to express it towards you. Help us to develop that pattern of gratefulness, of thankfulness, to give thanks every day, maybe to use the list that has been developed, or maybe to even lengthen the list, but to thank you regularly every day and then throughout the day as well. Make us thankful people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Bob.